Blog Talk Radio.
I bow my head to thee, 'tis thy command. It is not mine to say, nor understand. Bid all my doubting cease before thy sight. Guide thou my feet aright. Take thou my hand. I pray to thee, O Lord, to thee alone. Do thou forgive the past, my pride has blown. And thou wilt hear thine oldest pleading cry. As penitent am I before thy throne.
I plead with thee,
I plead with thee.
Good evening, precious saints of God. Hope you're all doing well on this Friday, June 30th. We end the month of June today and we start July tomorrow. And how the year has gone by so fast. Can't believe we are at the halfway point of the year. Well, we're in studio today to finish up our series, Wilderness Fellowship. The text is Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. This is God speaking. He says, therefore, behold, I will allure her, my church, and bring her, my church, into the wilderness resort, and speak comfortably unto my church. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, what a blessing. What a privilege you give us each and every day to sit at your feet, to be instructed in your word, to be blessed and nourished by the same, to be built up in the faith by the same, to be instructed and corrected and even rebuked by the same. Bless us, O Lord, we pray, as we draw to a close in this study. Open our eyes, Lord, that perhaps when we look at this into the spiritual mirror, we may see much of Gomer in us. Help us, Lord. If we are starting to depart, if we're starting to backslide, let this text be a postcard to us, a Valentine's Day card, where you express your love for us and we come back running into your arms. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Over the years, I and many Christians have wondered, boy, what a privileged people Israel was. Boy, they were super, super, super duper blessed. How could they do this to God? How could a nation so favored, how could a nation with such a history, with such founding fathers as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with such heroes as Moses, Samuel, and David, how could such a people go a-whoring after other gods? We tend to look at them and say, that would never be us. We would never do what Israel did. Oh, but we have. And the Bible, Scripture, the Word of God, bears witness to that. That we're just like Israel. That the church today is just like Israel of old. We're one and the same. Why? Because the church is made up of people. People who are faithful today and unfaithful tomorrow. And this is why we need the grace of God. The grace of God. So God promises, he made the promise to ancient Israel, to the prophet Hosea, that he would persuade his people. He would convince them that they should come back to him in the wilderness, and that there he would rehabilitate them by speaking to their hearts. Well, God does the same for us today. You see, my brothers and sisters, the Bible is a record of God's unfailing love. In every generation, God's unfailing love in every generation. You had the Old Testament church. She had her period. And now you have the New Testament church and we have our period. But we're basically the same. We're one and the same. Let me show you from the book of Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 2. If you believe as I do, that the seven churches represent seven different successive periods in church history, in that the church of Ephesus represents the apostolic church. That's the first church. The first church is the apostolic church. And then for the last 2,000 years, if you were to trace church history, the seven churches mirror 2,000 years of church history, so that if Ephesus is the first church, Laodicea is the last. So that the first church, the early church, the apostolic church, the church of the book of Acts, is Revelation chapter 2. And that today's church, the modern church, the rapture-ready church, is the church of Laodicea, your church and my church. So, look at how the church starts. Let's go to Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. It says, Jesus speaking, starting at verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works. I know your labor, I know thy patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and how you have put to the test those who say that they are apostles, and you have found them, you've discovered them to be liars. You have borne, you have much patience for my name's sake, you have labored, and you have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now look what Jesus says to the church. He says, you're near perfect, but there's something we have to talk about. When it comes to labors, when it comes to battling false teachers, when it comes to putting false teachers to the test and examining their credentials to see if what they claim is real, you have found them to be false teachers, false apostles, false leaders. You've been able to tell the real from the counterfeit. Yet, although you are very driven to defend my doctrine and the integrity of the church, and you labor much and you work much, I have this against you. You have left your first love. You're backsliding. With all of that activity, with all that church work that you do, and you're caught up in the work, and you're very devoted to the work, it's like a husband. A husband who goes to work and comes home and pays the bills and ensures that everybody has a roof over their heads and ensures that there's food in the refrigerator and gas in the tank and oil in the furnace. And, I mean, Dad, he ensures that we have everything we need, but he's falling out of love with Mom. You have left your first love. You don't love me as you first did. Your love is waning. Your love is starting to become non-existent. That's the early church. Now, fast forward 2,000 years later. Let's fast forward 2,000 years later. And look what Jesus says in verse 19 of Revelation 3, verse 19. He says this, as many as I love, now I love you, church, as many as I love, I do what? I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, why does Jesus say that to this church? Well, because this church isn't starting to be backslidden, it's completely backslidden. The backslidden state has come into maturity. At the Church of Ephesus, it was only beginning. Now, backsliding is complete. And Jesus says, because I love you, I'll rebuke you and chasten you. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will, and I will sup with him, and he will sup with me. Notice. In Revelation 2, 4, and 5, the fellowship is starting to break down. The love is starting to wane. The passion is no longer what it used to be. But by the time we get to Revelation 3, and Jesus now in chapter 3 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm here to give you an invitation to come back to fellowship. You see, the church is like Israel. The church, when it left Egypt, oh, it was praising God and it was worshiping the Lord and it was thanking God for all the miracles and all the plagues that God had brought and And Moses said to the people, God has asked me to tell you to do this. And they said, listen, whatever God tells us to do, we'll do. There was a honeymoon period between Israel and God. But then in a few short months, the honeymoon period had evaporated. And by the time you get to Hosea, it's full-blown adultery. The church of the Old Testament has other gods, other paramours. And the same thing happened to the church of the New Testament. By the time John, the last apostle, is about to die, there's only one apostle left, and that's John. That's the one who's writing the letter of Revelation. By this point, by the end of the first century, the early church has left its first love. It only took 70 years for the early church, 70 years, for the early church to backslide. And 2,000 years later, in our time, in the time of Laodicea, that's our period, Jesus is doing house-to-house visitations, visiting everybody's house, your house, my house. How does he do it? By knocking on one door at a time. He knocks on your heart, he knocks on my heart, and he says, listen, who wants to fellowship with me? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, are you hearing him today? He wants the fellowship. He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door. See, you have to open the door. You're a believer already. It's not that you're a non-believer. You're a believer. It's not like you're Lydia. It's not like you're Lydia and God needs to open, unlock the door of your heart. No, it's already been unlocked, but you went and locked it. Because you stopped fellowshipping with Jesus. I stopped fellowshipping with Jesus. So he says, behold, I'm back. I'm back to allure you. I'm back to convince you. I'm back to win you over. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, then we will have full fellowship. I will come in. I will sit down, I will sup with him, and he with me. Hosea 2:14 applies today. There are many saints in their homes today who have stopped fellowshipping with the Lord. And today, he's knocking on the doors of people's hearts, people who once praised him, people who once worshipped him, people who once walked with him. They have become like Gomer. They have chased other things and have stopped chasing and cleaving to the Lord. So let us pray. Let us pray that Hosea 2:14 will become a reality in St. Johnsville. How many people behind those doors in those homes once served the Lord, but no longer do today? Well, Jesus wants to reach them. Jesus wants to allure them. Jesus wants to invite him to his wilderness resort. Jesus wants to speak directly to their hearts. Let us pray that when they hear his voice, they will open the door and let him in. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this study. And we pray, Lord, that if that's us, if we are an active Laodicean today where we are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, distasteful, where Jesus would spit us out of his mouth, oh God, open the door to Jesus and let him in. We open the door to Jesus and allow him to speak to us his message of fellowship and love. Bless us, O God, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Well, saints, that'll do it for this week. Hope to see you all Sunday. morning as we continue our series on praying for a visitation of God in 2023. God bless you.